Amen.
Praise the Lord. Happy to be out tonight, this evening, this morning. Let's all stand, if you will. Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly appreciate it. Lord, every opportunity we have in this late hour, Lord, it's just so precious to us. Lord, we pray that you would just give us the grace to use every moment we have, Lord, with urgency. Father, being able to learn and draw closer to you. Father, judging ourselves by your word, that we may see truly where we stand in this late hour. And Father, may the urgency be in our hearts, the desperation. Oh, Father, to reach that height, Lord, in you. We ask that you would just bless each and every one that's made the effort to come this morning. Just pray that your blessings be each and every one. May your will be done in the service, we ask, in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. It's truly lovely this morning. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, on page 130. Hallelujah. In the big books there. This is like heaven to me. Amen. We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Amen. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, when I get happy, I sing and I shout. The devil don't believe it, I see. Oh, but I'm filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt. And that's what's the matter with me. Amen. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. This is like heaven to me. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven. Amen. Sing it. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Sing that first verse. Oh, infinite people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. Oh, we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Amen. Is it like heaven to you? Are you happy in your heart? Amen. Page 42. I feel like traveling on. Got that determination, saints. Amen.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh, I feel like traveling. I feel like man, praise his name, which flames devour or waves overflow. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling.
Just around the bend.
Hallelujah. We'll go home.
Amen. Page 87. I think it is when the roll was called up yonder. I'll be there. You planning on being there, Saints?
Hey. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there, amen. Oh, when the roll is caught up yonder, when the roll is caught up yonder, oh, when the roll is caught up yonder, when the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, on that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather, oh, think about it, hallelujah, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, and the roll is caught up yonder. Let us mock of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Amen. Oh, and the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder.
Got to look forward to. Amen. I love to think of the verse, the half has not even been told. Everything we're looking forward to, what gives us hope and anticipation of what he's prepared for us, and we don't even have half of it. What it's going to be like, saints, we can't imagine.
Amen. He's wonderful.
Brother Josh, would you like to come up for the offering?
it's such a privilege, Lord, to be able to gather this
morning. Oh, yes.
Lord, to sing these songs, Lord, a revelation. Lord, if you have a revelation burning in your heart.
Yes.
Lord, where it talks about your loving care. Lord, we're singing about your loving care. Lord, maybe you be excited, Lord, for your appearing, Lord. Maybe we be excited, yes. Lord, to sing songs of Zion unto you, Lord.
Yes.
For all you've done to us, Lord, for us. We just appreciate it, Lord. We're just happy to be able to give this morning. Lord, so you can use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Lord, for your glory and your honor. We'll give you all the glory and honor due unto you this morning. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray.
Amen. Praise his name. I am determined. I've made up my mind. Amen. I'll serve the Lord. I am determined, I made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. Oh, I am determined, I made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. Amen. Oh, I'll follow wherever he leadeth, I'll pastor wherever he feedeth. Oh, I am determined, I made up my mind, I'll serve. Amen. Sing it if you're determined. Oh, I am determined, I made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. Oh, I'll serve the Lord. Oh, I'll follow wherever he leadeth. I'll pasture wherever he feedeth. Oh, I am determined, I'm made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. Amen. I may have something on your heart, a request, a need. Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Philip, would you like to take the request?
Gracious Lord, we're just grateful and thankful for the opportunity we have to once again gather here today, Lord. We now realize, Lord, the prophet said that one day this privilege will be taken away from us, Lord. And our God, may we enjoy every time that we have to be together with the saints of life, precious faith, that we might draw strength from one another. This hour and age that we're living in, dear God, and we pray now, Lord, for the needs of the people, Lord. You know those that are sick, Lord, that need a touch from you, Lord, and you know those that need a God's spiritual help in this time of trials and testing we may be going through, Lord, and thy God, you know those that may have a material need. We pray that you supply every need according to thy riches and glory, Lord, and we pray that you bless the word as it comes forth, bless the speaker, Lord, and only with your Holy Spirit, thy God, he might speak those whom you have to speak, Lord, and be words of life unto your people, Lord,
yes.
In this hour, Lord, and they've touched somebody's heart, Lord, and perhaps they don't know you yet, Lord, as your personal Savior. We ask these things all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Your sisters have a song this morning? Anyone else got a song? Something on your heart? Brother Joshua. He is here. Amen. Of course. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He listen closely. never be the same when you come in contact with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus. Only believe.
Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Heavenly Father, we have gathered here again today, truly by the mercy and grace of God. Lord, where men and women's hearts are growing cold, and Lord, the desires just grow dim. And Lord, you promised you'd have a bride that you would live through and live in. And Lord, that it couldn't be helped to be seen that you would express yourself. And again, the life of Jesus Christ be on display. We thank you, Lord, for that great revealing you gave through that prophet. And thank you, Lord, for eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. We ask, Lord, today now that you would open our hearts again to the Word of God. May the Word not just be words to us, and go out void, but Father, may it be a living reality placed within our hearts. We ask now that you'd bless us, and Lord, if our minds and our hearts is not in the right condition to receive, we ask now that you'd send your Holy Spirit and place us in the position, Lord. We pray now thy will be done as we wait on you to speak to our hearts through the Word of God. In your glorious, most precious name we ask. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Are you thankful you're serving the Lord today? Amen. Thankful for a desire. Let us turn Bibles, if you'd like to turn, to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and the 15th chapter. It's not really our subject, but I'd like to read a couple of verses, kind of set our minds in order. So we find here 1 Corinthians, let's read 15th chapter and begin to read here just the first and second verse. Moreover, brethren, I notice who he's talking to, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And may God bless you in his word, and you may be seated. And if you'd like to also turn with me to St. John's Gospel and read a few verses here again in the 14th chapter of St. John's Gospel, and very familiar verses here. St. John 14, we'll begin here at the 16th verse. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, again, may the Lord bless his word into our hearts. So we find here in reading these verses here, and first we read where Paul was talking about, speaking about, you know, remembering what he had brought and what he had taught and so forth. And, you know, the mind, you know, has a special part in this great plan of God, our thinking. And, you know, there was a reason God gave us or made us a triune being, you know, where we would have a conscience and imagination, reasoning, affection, memory, these different things. There was a reason why he gave us sight to see and ears to hear and give us feeling. He gave us a, you know, something that we could hear with and touch with and smell. He had a purpose in all these things. But yet, how they can be so contrary to the Word of God if Christ isn't in us and Christ isn't living or expressing himself through us. So, you know, in thinking on these things, I was thinking of, you know, last, not particularly Thursday night service, and I think the Thursday night before that or when it was, but Sunday services, and speaking about this great mystery that Paul spoke of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's one of those things, you know, like I've said before, and you know yourself, it seems like when you understand something more and the revelation comes more, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you just look at it and it's just everywhere, you know. Excuse me. And that's kind of seemed like that's the way this is, you know, this little subject that we're speaking about. And, you know, but if we're going to realize that Christ is in us, then our thinking is going to definitely be changed, the way we think. And, you see, and that's, remember, as the prophet said now, you know, the soul, okay, there's a new birth now to those that's born again. The soul controls the spirit, okay, which is the imagination, reasoning, affection, memory, all those different things, conscience. So the soul controls that. And then that spirit then controls the flesh. It's going to control the see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But as we receive the revelation of these things, as I said, and if we are in Christ and Christ is in us, then truly there is an effect on our thinking of how we approach things, how we handle circumstances. And you know, we all have circumstances every day in our life. We, you know, and on the job things happen, maybe in the home things happen. Maybe between husband and wife things happen, children doing this and that and the other, and had to deal with the material things of life to have a place to live and maybe an automobile to drive and these different things. There are circumstances that arises through all these things. And we speak or we operate from what we think. And if we have truly received a revelation of these great things. And even as Paul said at that time, it was a mystery. This great mystery of Christ in you. We read that and we read out the book of Colossians, and we'll read this one again to kind of refresh our minds. 2 Corinthians 4, 10th and 11th verse. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, if you really think about that, just think what the individual, the individual that has this revelation, what their thoughts are going to be, how they're going to think about situations as they arise. Maybe a problem comes up, or a test, or a trial. But just think how their thinking must be to really have a revelation that Christ is in them. And a revelation so great that they could be, as Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20. He says so many times, but it's so important. I live, but yet it's not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. No wonder Paul thought the way he thought about things. You know, and I get to thinking about these old warriors and thinking about Paul and different ones, and even as a prophet, it was for this age. Do we think like they think? Do we really, is our understanding of the Word of God great enough that when things come up, we would handle it like those prophets handled it? I remember those prophets were given for examples. You see, their life was given for that. They expressed Christ. Okay? And is our thinking set up the same way? Has it been overcome with the Word of God and brought under submission in such a way that we could think as these prophets thought? Because they thought as Christ thought. We'll get into something here in a bit. But I trust that you will listen to these things. My voice is just a little weak this morning, so just ask the Lord to help us a little bit. And so I'm going to read this one more time here in this message that we read last week, Christ the Mystery God Revealed. And we read it the week before that. But I don't want it to be, don't let it become common to you, friends. Okay? Please don't do that. Open your heart to it and just say, Lord, now, I know I've heard this before, but just if there's something else in there for me, open my heart to it. We can do that. All right? So he says here, what was Jesus manifested for? He said, to show God. That's what he was manifested for, to show God. He was God. He had to be. No man could die. No prophet could die. He was God. He was the God of the prophets. He was the prophets. He was the kings. He was the history. He was he that was to come. He that was. He that is. And he that's to be in this day. What? He that's to be in this day? Keeps going on? Yeah. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Now the prophet might be gone, you know. And we don't see him now, and he's asleep right now. And the thing of it is, where are we right now? What have we followed, and what have we understood enough to be able to see the life he lived, which he lived what Christ was? Now it's handed down to us. It's our turn, all right? As we read in the Church Age book, you know, the prophet talked about, you know, Jesus, our Lord Jesus, didn't do at that time certain things that he left for this specific time, you know? And we, the bride, are to know what that is, okay? Now, how can you know what those things are if the Holy Spirit don't reveal it, you see? It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it and open your understanding to it, okay? So let's go on. He says, and through that purpose he achieved a church. Now, remember, those are the called out ones. He says here, and he might bring to pass every promised word of God in these last days when he gets the preeminence. And he says again, the preeminence in the church, the position, his place in the church. Notice he said now His place in the church. Not us get our place, get His place in the church, in the body. And remember, the scripture tells us He is the head of the body. All right? So He says, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also." Now, we're supposed to be believers and believe on the same thing. Okay? "Even more than this shall he do." Okay. Now we're talking about something very special. Okay? "Even more than this shall he do, for I go unto my Father." See? That was His purpose. There was the manifestation. And today, He wants to get somebody that can so see it. Remember me reading this. He wants to get somebody that can so see it. Or so understand it. Right? That they can let the word. And He stops and says, "See Jesus. So seen it. So. And was so perfectly born for the day until God expressed every move that He made." Now, see, He says He was God's revelation. So the thing of it is, what are we today? We too are supposed to be the manifestation of the revealing of the Word of God. See? The manifestation of it. So if we're the manifestation of it, and we see by grace that we was born so perfectly for the day, then what do you think the people that has this revelation, what their thoughts is going to be? Can you really think of that? What their thoughts is going to be? See, so many times still we live like we're too much an American citizen. We're too much of like the human race. They say, "Well, we are human." Yes, we are human beings. But we're also pilgrims and strangers journeying this land. You see, we are here for a special purpose. We are not here to be like the rest of the men on the job. We're not here to be like the rest of the men walking down the street, driving down the road. As a woman, we're not born to be like the rest of women out here in the world. Young person, not born for the purpose to be like the rest of young people out here in the world. We're a strange and peculiar people. You see, we're a special people. We're a chosen generation. A very, so peculiar that any other human being can't live like us. Only those that have the same Christ living in them. That's how special they are, you see. And like I say, and it's so special that, and it's so designed and so put together, and God made it in such a way that it would be impossible for any other human being that their feet has been planted upon the earth to be like these ones that He sent. Like these ones He called and predestinated and has revealed this word to them. Because they're so strange, they think entirely different. You know, the normal way of somebody in the world hits you on one cheek, you sure don't turn the other cheek, you hit the other guy back again. But they're so strange that if they get hit on the cheek, one cheek, they turn the other one. And they say, "I forgive you, brother. I forgive you, whoever it is. I'll pray for you." And that's so strange. It's so different. It's so different from women today to want to not express their body when women everywhere around want to express their body. They want to wear something tight and something real tight to where it shows their bosom or their body, their form or something. And these special ones are so different from that. They want nothing to do with that because they're a special people. They think the way God thinks. Yeah. They think the way the Word says because the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word is made flesh to dwell among us. So they think the Word, you know, because they are a part of that Word. And they did come, we mentioned last Sunday, they came from the same source that Christ came from. Now think of that. So seeing how our Lord Jesus thought about things, and then those that were born again, really born again, that same Spirit came upon them, and they thought the same way in circumstances in life, in different situations as it arose, in problems and trials and tests and how to handle material things, how to feel about money, all these different things, you see. It's all been handed down to them, and they have the same traits as their father. You see? Remember the prophet speaking about the God of this evil age? All right? So here we find this is such a different people. My, they're so different. Now we're talking about the true bride of Jesus Christ. For it is impossible, as I'll say it again, for anyone outside of Christ being in them to have this kind of life. And it's so few. The prophet mentioned so many times, he said, so very, very, very few. So there ain't going to be very many of them. We look at things and sometimes we look throughout the land, we think, oh, there's thousands and thousands and thousands. No, there isn't. No. No, friend. It is just a little handful. It's just a few that's going in. It's true bride of Jesus Christ. The impersonators, sure, they're going to try to make themselves do it. They're going to act like they're doing it. But for some reason, they just can't hold up. The tests and trials come, and they can never overcome. And they just keep doing the same. They just keep falling for the same thing, and just can't do it. And the genuine believer may sit right beside of them and approach the same thing in life, and they'll be an overcomer and not do that thing and turn to that sin and have no problem, because there's a special desire dwelling within them. So it makes them very special. So what are you getting at, Brother Steve? Well, before we go into a few things here, I want you to just have in mind, these special people have a whole different way of thinking. A whole different way. And you can always tell when somebody has that different way of thinking versus the one that maybe even thinks they have the right way of thinking, or thinks they're filled with the Holy Ghost, or thinks they're born again. Because their actions speak so loud. That you can't hear nothing else. You see? So let's listen now what he's saying here. I'll renew your minds back to this one other quote, and then we'll go on to some other ones. This one here was in Investments, and it was preached November 16, 1963, and we'll just read paragraph 69. And then, as intelligent thinkers, okay, this morning, if that same life that was in Christ is in you, that same life that was in Christ is in you. Oh, I hope the Holy Spirit really dips these things in your heart. How can it keep from living the same thing? Absolutely cannot live anything other than Christ being in them. If Christ is in them, you see. Now see, we're so used to, in the time and age we're living in, it just seems almost the norm of people struggling to try to live right. Struggling to try to keep from doing wrong. You show me anywhere, in any of the scripture, in any of those quotes, the prophet, God spoke to the prophet, show me anywhere, once a man or woman is filled with the Holy Ghost, they're struggling to keep from doing wrong. You ain't going to show it to me unless you twist something. Because Christ is in you. And you mean to tell me that's all the stronger Christ is? That he can't overcome things? That he has to struggle? That he has to try to have somebody force him to do it? No. Ain't happening, friends. That's a wrong revelation. When you think that's the norm of being filled with the Holy Ghost, and you've got to struggle and struggle and struggle to try to keep living right, try to keep having the right way about you. Oh, you got a wrong revelation. Sound like you've followed somebody that's tried to make a Christian out of you, out of creeds. Yeah. Where if Christ is living in you, friends, he takes you over. Am I speaking truth? Absolutely I am. Some don't like hearing truth, but I'm going to tell you truth anyway. But this is all the revelation we're talking about of Christ being in you. Okay? So he says here, how can it keep from living the same thing and be the same thing? He said, it must do it. If Christ is in you, it must do it. And you'll live the same way. Okay? So we might get emotionally worked up, and we might get into something documented in it with some creed or something that we would think that it was. But when we read what he was, and then that's what he is today, and we know that, don't we? God's revealed that to us. What he was then, it's what he is today. He hasn't changed. See? What God was in Christ, which he says here, he was your brother. Your brother redeemer. Yes, he was your brother. That's what he is in you. As a redeemed child. Just think of that. Just let your heart open for a moment. And yet so many times we will get so frustrated and so uptight about different things. We will get so shook up and begin to get worked up and get upset and to where we get to the point where we're not expressing Christ whatsoever. But in doing that, what was your thinking? Your thinking had to be that before that outward expression began. You see? But our thoughts are something special. Listen, I don't want to hold you too long today, but I want to bring your attention to something here. In the message, the world is falling apart. And this was paragraph 28 in the beginning of his message. And this one was preached because he preached a couple times on about the world falling apart. But this one was April 12, 1963, paragraph 28. And there's only one thing that never did begin, and that was God. It's maybe hard for still some to believe, but God never did begin. You know, because that's so contrary to the way our thinking is. We think, well, we was born from mama's womb, and we growed up, you know, and this, that, and the other, and we see people come and die, and this, that, and the other, you know. But God never did begin. Never. He's eternal. Therefore, the only way we can ever live eternal is to have God's own life in us. That's the only way we can have eternal life. That's the only way we can live eternal, is to have God's life in us. You know? Now, some people may think, you know, it's such a hard thing and maybe a tough thing to get through, to have to express the life of Christ, you know, and to have to manifest Christ in this day. And they think, oh, that's going to be such a struggle, and that's going to be so hard, and I don't know if I can do this, brother, and this, that, and the other. But they forget about, if they'd only yield and let Christ live through them, the eternal life they have. It expresses then eternal life is there. If it's not you living, and it is Christ living. That's the only way you know you have eternal life. Well, Brother Steve, I believe I just got eternal life. You can believe all you want. But until that life lives through you, you don't know you have eternal life. Go ahead and try to fake your believing. But it ain't going to work, friends. Well, I trust God. That's what he said. I have eternal life. He said, I was in the thought, absolutely, that's right. But you try to go in on that without seeing him live through you. You'll never make it, friends. God separated himself among us and gave his spirit like he did at Pentecost. He did it again this hour. Yeah. And we can read in the book of Acts, and we know what happened to them that received that same spirit. Their lives changed forever. Yeah. there was a whole different people. And that's a strange thing for today, too, because it's so easy for people to say they got the Holy Ghost and things don't change forever. It's just they go along as far as they can stand it, and then they'll fall. And they'll get up and they'll try again, they'll go as far as they can stand it, and they'll fall. Doing the same thing over and over and over again. That ain't the same thing that was in Pentecost, friends. No. He did on the same thing he did on the day of Pentecost, and it was seen in symbols of fire from the pillar of fire that separated itself among the people to give his own life out to the people through this. Now listen. Give his life out through the people. And through this, this is the quote that really caught my thoughts. I'll read it again. From the pillar of fire that separated itself among the people to give his own life out to the people. And through this, now what did this cause? And through this, the mind of Christ should be operating among us. Wow. The mind of Christ should be operating among us. In other words, manifesting that we have the mind of Christ. But we still get so tied up and knotted up with life. If anybody had a right to get knotted up, it would have been our Lord Jesus. What he had to go through, mocked and scoffed, spit on, beaten and lacerated. By being beaten, taken to a cross. Oh. If anybody had the right to get all excited and nervous and my frustrated because things was going the wrong way, it ought to be our Lord Jesus. What about Apostle Paul? What about Stephen before he stoned him? Why wouldn't he have the right to get all nervous and frustrated? And, you people don't know what you're doing. Come on, stop this nonsense. You're crazy and all this stuff. No. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. But today it takes way, way less things than that. It gets us all shook up. It gets us all uptight and then, I use the word tizzy, we get all, you know, just all shook up. And then we get frustrated. And then sometimes even get angry over such little things. Well, Brother Steve, that's big to me. Why is it big to you? Because you don't have the mind of Christ. But we've come to the norm on that we think, that's life. I have a right to do this. I have a right to get all frustrated and nervous and just thrown out into a tizzy to where I just can't almost control myself because something happens or goes wrong. We think that's the norm of a Christian walk with Christ. Again, you've got the wrong revelation. And I'll take it back as far as what you've seen before in the past. In the ministry. Every little thing happened, and get all worked up. And it was come to the point of cursing because maybe a camper was going the wrong direction. Have we used that for examples? Have we used some other minister for our examples? Or are we using Christ? But it was the norm. It's norm to get angry. It was norm to scream out and point your fist at somebody because they turned in front of you. It was the normal from the ministry. But then like Brother Brown said, you know, if the pastor shakes his head this way, the congregation wants to do that. Instead of seeing Jesus Christ on display, they're trying to see their pastor on display. You know I'm telling the truth. And we've let these little things carry over and we think and believe we're Christians when we're not.
It's time, friends, we wake up. Because I'm telling you, the Lord has warned us and warned us and warned us. And if you're planning on going in, you better have a soul change. You better have somebody directing you or leading you and have the thoughts of somebody that's eternal and not some temporal bag of flesh. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 2, if you want to turn with me. 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll read 11 to 16 verse. Remember, saints, I'm trying to get you in. I'm trying to show you things that you're not seeing, but the Holy Ghost knows. We act too much like an American citizen. We act too much like human flesh. It's nothing but death, and it's temporal. The only way you know you have eternal life, friends, is if Christ manifests himself through you. You know, and it's so amazing, you know, when people getting all, as we're talking about people getting all nervous and upset and tight about different things that happen, and it's so amazing of how many times that person brings it upon themselves. And then everybody else is to the blame. But it was all their fault. All their own doings, their own creating of what they did in their self to put this position in that base and bring this condition to them. It was their own fault, and yet they get so frustrated about it. It's like I always did say, you know, you go along and you stub your toe on the coffee table, and you get all steamed up and all mad. Who was the one that hit the toe on the coffee table? But now we want to hit the coffee table. We want to throw the coffee table out. It shouldn't be there. But who hit the coffee table? You. Who smashed your thumb? You. Henry beside him, he didn't smash it. You smashed it. Yeah. So self-inflicted so many times and brought upon ourselves. Such foolishness. Yeah. 11th verse, for what man, is 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Now pay attention. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. How can you know these things even today I'm talking about without the Spirit of God? You can't. You just hear a preacher up here talking about it. And you're kind of looking into it and saying, you know, amen or no, or this, that, and the other. But until the Spirit of God is in you, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. No. You say, what do you mean, Brother Steve? Because your life will go right back out and show it again. You don't know what we're talking about. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That's why they think altogether different. Altogether different. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Yeah. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Not of man. Of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Oh, there we go. See, as I'm bringing these things today, the Holy Ghost will come in you, if you have the Holy Ghost, and teach you what I'm talking about. Yeah. And the Holy Ghost teacher comes in, which is a comforter, comes in you and teaches you things. These things, how could you just turn around and walk away from it? Ain't no way you can. There's no way you can walk away from it. See? Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, without the Holy Ghost, and you'll think this things I'm talking about today is, well, you're silly. You're silly. There's no reason why I can't get upset and all mad and all nervous and all intention and all this, that, and the other when things goes wrong. And things just make me nervous. Oh, really? Huh? Think what the Spirit of God through the Scripture said. Scripture said, one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. Yeah. Peace. Joy. Love. Yeah. So what kind of spirit we got? If we got peace. Huh? If the peace of God that passeth all understanding, if that peace isn't in our hearts, what kind of spirit have I got? I remember it had to come from somewhere. There was thoughts coming. And it had to come from where? What controlled that? The soul. So do I have the right soul there controlling it? Or is it still that worldly nature I was born with? That worldly nature being born with that, it's the one that gets all and sends signal to the thoughts and all my and gets all worked up because something's not going right. Just remember, maybe you made it in a way that made it go wrong. Yeah. Through your foolishness. Your carnality. Your love of money. You had to have this, and you want this way, and this way, and that way, and this, that, and the other. You had to have a certain thing. Yeah. Yeah. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, it had to be the Holy Spirit that reveals it. Okay. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yeah, see, he's watching everything. He is spiritual. He's watching every channel. It's like me and Brother Joshua was talking the other night, Thursday night outside, you know, and raising children. You have to watch them constantly all the time because you've got that responsibility. You're rearing them. You're raising them to what they should be. So you have to watch every attitude, every action, the way it's done, the way they perform, all these different things. You have to watch constantly because you have that as a parent, your responsibility to raise that child right. So there's no letdown. There's no quitting. There's no slowing down. It's a constant watch. You're like the watchman of the night. Watch, watch, watch. Watching everything said. Listen to every conversation. Yes. Know where they're at. Know what they're doing. Yes. Watch, 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 watch. Because you are responsible. You see? For who, now watch this. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Kind of gel this together with what the prophet said, which eventually we'll get to in what time. But to kind of gel this together, I looked up the original Greek on this, on known, okay? Is to understand and to have the capacity for spiritual truth. To have the capacity of spiritual truth. The spiritual faculty of perceiving divine revelation. Wow. The particular mode of thinking and judging thoughts. Well, this is something that's always going through a born-again son, daughter of God. Constantly. You're constantly judging your thoughts. Making sure this thought lines up. This thought lines up. You start thinking of this, you're making sure that thought lines up. Okay? The particular mode of thinking and judging thoughts, feelings, purposes, and desires. Wow. Who hath known the mind who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Looked up instruct, which is able to give a born again the right teaching, because he has been given the elements to retain the capacity of spiritual truth. He has received the elements to retain the capacity of spiritual truth. This is all that's going through the mind. Wow. Can you imagine operating like this on every circumstance coming up? It's like a meter going back and forth, reading different things, an earthquake meter and so forth. You know, it's going back constantly reading what's there, reading the feelings, reading the desires, reading the thoughts, constantly metering it. Oh, Brother Steve, that'd take way too much time. That's why I said it would come automatically. It's something you can't do in yourself. But there's something about it as you go through life. There's that metering going on. You're judging your thoughts. You're judging your desires, your ambitions. You're searching it, making sure it's the will of God. That's what Apostle Paul and our Lord Jesus was talking about. To have the mind of Christ. Saints, if you don't see this as something you need to climb higher with, I don't know what to tell you. Because I think we all need to. Yes. Well, I ain't going to live like that. That's just ridiculous. Is it? Is it crazy? It is to those that are not spiritual. It is to those that's not born again. But those that are spiritual judgeth all things. All things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Think of that. Do you understand it now? See. Let's go on. In closing, I'll try to hurry up here. The world is falling apart. November 27, 1963, also paragraph 194. He said, just don't be worked up. And don't say, I belong to church. No. He says, you be sure of that. You be sure of that. If Christ doesn't live in you, till all your mind, heart, soul, he says, body. Wow, it's everything. That's your whole entire being. Yeah. You say, well, I think. You haven't got a thought coming. Brother, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. I think the days ought to be like this. I think this ought to be this. I think the word don't mean this. We have no thought coming. If the mind of Christ is in us, then we will recognize that word to be the truth. And it lives right through us. It lives right through us. No problem. He said, actually, you can't help it. You can't help it. It's like the people that's not filled with the Holy Ghost, you know. They can't help that they're out there drinking today. They can't help they're out there today maybe trying to watch a ball game and drinking booze while they're watching it. They can't help they're out there smoking a joint or taking marijuana, all this different stuff, you know. They can't help it. They can't control it. You see? The desire is bigger than they are. Yeah. He said, you can't help it. It's Christ in you. Take the life out of a watermelon. Now, just the simplicity again of this. He says, again, many places he talks about the life out of a watermelon, or orange, whatever. If you, he says, take the life out of a watermelon vine and put it in a pumpkin vine. He's just got them talking about his thoughts. His thoughts, having the mind of Christ. I just read it to you. He was just talking about this mind of Christ. Take the life out of a watermelon vine and put it in a pumpkin vine, it'll bear watermelons. You can't keep from it. Neither can you keep from having the mind of Christ when you have the new birth. Oh. Didn't the prophet say that? When the new birth comes, you have the mind of Christ. Oh. Oh. Saints, we need to measure up. Again, now, if I didn't care if he was all lost, I wouldn't worry about this. I wouldn't worry the first thing about it. But I'm concerned for your soul. Because I know that if we don't line up with this word exactly what God said, God ain't got no grandchildren. No. We all must be sons and daughters of God. And what he said would be in this last days, that he'd have a bride that would not fall. And if you claim to be one of them, you've just claimed a lot of responsibility. Yeah. A lot of responsibility. And remember, it's Satan's duty to make it be kind of just covered over and kind of whitewash it and make things not seem as important as they really are. In other words, honeycoat it. Make it sweet to not be just like Christ. Make it sweet not to have the mind of Christ. Make it sweet to where you don't have to worry that much about Christ manifesting you. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is follow the message. All you got to do is believe Brother Branham was the prophet. Are you going to let Satan smear that sticky honey over? Or do you see the reality of the responsibility of being a true son and daughter of God? Having the mind of Christ. You can't keep from it because the life is in it. And if you say, well, I don't believe that, or the word here, then that ain't the Spirit of Christ. There's some other spirit in you. And if you don't honestly believe this about the mind of Christ, there's some other spirit in you. If you think you can go out here today and not meet these requirements that I'm reading to you, I'm not done yet, but I'm reading to you and think you don't have to do that, you've got definitely wrong spirit on you. Yeah. My friends, I know it seems like I'm constantly putting the thumb down and to make sure. But I don't want to fail as a servant of God. I want to make sure you hear the truth and know the seriousness of it. May God help us. Let's read Philippians 4, 8th verse. Catch something here. Philippians 4 and 8. Maybe we'll close for this morning. Finally, brethren, now think of this. In the verses before this, Paul's writing of a believer, a Christian. Somebody's filled with the Holy Ghost. And he says, finally, brethren, okay, you're a believer. Okay. Born again. Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, I just think about all our thoughts. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, sometimes we'll listen to so many things that ain't true. Sometimes we get so involved in the politics Biden said this and Trump said this and this, that, and the other. Don't you realize that through the electronics they have today, they can put a commercial on with one of those presidents or somebody running for president, and their mouth will be saying something, and they put words of that same voice on that person, making them say things that's not even true. Study and find out. And we'll go that up and draw that in, and he said this and he said that. But finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Don't you think our Lord Jesus Christ would know those things and live by those things? You think he'd fall for all this stuff even believers are falling for today, and what's going on in the world? No. Neither will a born-again son or daughter of God. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. He's telling us what to think about. Where our thoughts should be. Whatsoever things are honest. We want to just try to cheat somebody just a little bit. Maybe try to do something they didn't know and try to cheat it out so I can put more money in my pocket. Maybe not tell them exactly what's wrong with the automobile and just let it go and, oh, they won't catch it. You know it's ready to fall clear apart and you don't say nothing about it. But whatsoever things are honest, friends, that's what your thoughts should be. I'm going to tell you what, friends, what I'm reading today and talking about today, whether you want to accept it or not, and you can call me crazy, but if the believers in this message would follow these things today, how much better off they would be. But it's so lacked, and yet call themselves believers. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, not bad reports, good reports. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Am I hitting any spots? Or should I say, is the word hitting any spots? Blemishes in your life? And remember, friends, if you're dishonest here, you'd be dishonest there. If you, as he said, are thinking things that are not true, you would think things that's not true there. Yeah. For what you are here, there's not going to be some kind of spontaneous combustion to change your characteristics when the rapture comes. No. The characteristics is already supposed to be Christ. The only thing that gets changed is the body you live in. For what you are here is what you'll be there. Do you think God's going to want all these people to get frustrated and up nervous and uptight in heaven? Well, Brother Steve, there won't be no things going on bad up there, so I'll have it made. Don't worry, friends. It don't go that way. Yeah. You won't be there. Will not be there. Maybe I'll stop there. I'll stop there for now. Amen. You realize, people, my precious brothers and sisters in Christ, how many in this message would never want to hear these things? They wouldn't want me there. They wouldn't even want to listen to me. Yeah. But one thing about it,
I'm not going to present a big bed of flowers to you that everything's all right in life when it isn't. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you realize how many times you may be tested this week with the things I spoke about this morning? Think of it. You may leave this building and be tested. You may rise out of bed in the morning, and as soon as you get at the job, you'll be tested. But just remember, now even after just hearing it, it ain't going to make you the overcomer. No. But if you received it, you'll be the overcomer. Yeah. You can hear a lot of things, friends, and you can repeat a lot of things. But it takes Christ being in you, the hope of glory, that great mystery of knowing this. And again, if you know he's in you, oh, how your thoughts is going to be so different. You'll think so much different. And I think of today, the people that claim to be Christians and their thoughts are so defiled. It takes nothing to get them off track. Nothing. The least little thing upsets them. The least little thing gets them all uptight and live a life of misery. They get so angry so quickly. Yeah, so quickly. We'd have been in bad shape if our Lord Jesus would have got angry at what they was doing to him and hung him on a cross. We'd have no blood for us today. He could have called for, the scripture says, 12 legions of angels and destroyed the whole mess when one could have done the job. But he had you on his mind when he went there. Now all he asks is for you to let him in and let him live through you. That he can do the same thing through you that he's left for us at this specific time, that he did not do at that time. So may our Lord Jesus have mercy on us and help us to understand even these simple things. Sometimes we get so spiritual-minded, we're looking for great big revelations. But my, look at the little things they call little, they mess. And it's not little. There's nothing little in God's word. It's all great and powerful and meaningful, you see. To those that are spiritual-minded, it is food for their soul. Amen. I love him. Why don't you come to the instruments, sister? Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Yeah. If anybody else wants this job, you're welcome to. One of these days, we'll lay this down. Yes. And then we'll be able to spend maybe 1,000 years under an apple tree talking about the goodness of our Lord and his blessings in our life. I look forward to that. Amen. Let us all stand. Let's sing a little chorus, Shut In With God in a Secret Place. Shut in with God in a secret place. In his prayer spirit, beholding his face, gaining more power to run in this race. I long to be shut in with God. Sing it again. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the spirit, behold.
bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so much for your precious word. And Lord, we realize again that only by your Holy Spirit can we understand these things. And these things become more real to us. And Lord, we can see it applied in our life and see you truly made manifest. For Lord, it isn't just the signs and wonders or miracles or healings and raising the dead. But Lord Jesus, it's the very literal life of Jesus Christ. Lord, to have the mind of Christ that Apostle Paul spoke of. And truly, Lord, that's what we must have in this hour, the mind of Christ. May that be made more alive in our hearts after today. This little word of exhortation again that we've been able to sit under your Holy Spirit and listen to. And Lord, forgive us of our sins and iniquities. Forgive us, Lord, of the places we have failed. And Lord, maybe thought things we shouldn't have thought. And then causing us to do things that should not have been done. We ask you, forgive us, Lord. But help us, Lord, to understand these things of such greatness. We ask now again that you go with us and guide us and lead us, Lord. And if you should tarry, and if it be your will, then we ask, Lord, you'd help us together back in here again this evening. Again, Father, that thy will would be done. In your glorious, most precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a sweet name. Hallelujah. We love you now, Lord. Amen. Shut in with God in a secret place. Bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. Okay, sister.